Well, I like the Christmas story. I like it all. I was reading Luke chapter 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2. One of my favorites is a prophecy of Zacharias at the end of Luke chapter 1. I teach from it a lot when I teach redemption. Zacharias, Elizabeth, it says, were well stricken in years. Now, I don't know how old that is, but it's old enough, isn't it? It seemed to me long past the age, childbearing age. The interesting thing, they had prayed for a child. Look at verse 13. The angel came to Zacharias and said, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Now, if you look down at verse 20, Gabriel said, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. They had prayed, they had asked, and they had given up. Relinquished their prayer. Turn loose. You ever done that? I have. We let circumstances talk us out of. God was just graced here, bring his will to pass. We let circumstances convince us to turn loose of the will of God, to turn loose of the plan of God, turn loose of our requests. You know, the scripture doesn't say having done all to sit. It says having done all to stand. And so we have to stand in faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And Zacharias did not believe the word of the angel. And I love it. He said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. You know, the devil comes an angel of light, and these people who want to see angels need to be aware that not all angels are gods. And so you need to be very cautious. And we don't request an angel, God sends them. And in both of these cases, it's clear that God sent Gabriel to Zacharias and sent Gabriel to Mary as well. And then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to orchestrate the divine plan. Now, what's the divine plan for your life? God's the best conductor, putting all the sounds and instruments together to bring to pass a performance of his will for your life and the life of your family. And a lot of times, most of the time, all of the time, I'd venture to say, it's going to take the supernatural hand of God to fulfill, to perform that word, and that's what it took here. Now, Zacharias was a priest, and he was in the temple, and the angel appeared, and he was afraid. You know, you'll find that's consistent throughout the scripture. People who want to see the supernatural and fall into fear. You just need to know if you see an angel, you might be afraid too. But stand fast, because God would bring that for a purpose. And anytime you saw angels in the scripture, most every time, it was at a time in your life when you really needed that. If you haven't seen an angel, you're probably doing okay. Isn't that good news? If you haven't had a vision or a dream, you're probably doing well. Following the inward leading, following the Spirit on the inside. Now, Zacharias was not able to speak. You know, it's amazing to me. He went home to Elizabeth and she conceived a child. Then he had something to say, he's not able to say it. And probably for a year, at least a year, he's not able to say. He realized right away that God was right and he was wrong. That's amazing, isn't it? That Almighty God said this year and he meant this year. He said a virgin shall conceive and he meant that. So that can't happen, but it did. See, with God, all things are possible if we can believe the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. He's not bound by human thinking. He's not bound by the laws of nature. And he will do what he said. There will be a performance. And he said there's going to be a performance of this thing. And Elizabeth, of course, bore John the Baptist. And it wasn't until John the Baptist was 8 days old that he could begin to, that that Zacharias could speak. And when he spoke, I don't believe he was quiet about it. I believe he'd been waiting a long time to have something to say. And those wonderful verses are found in verse 67 of chapter 1. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. My, there isn't any better way to speak than to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we're just blabbing, blabbing, blabbing. Have you ever done that? I mean, you're just talking to fill up airspace. I don't know why. Some people are very comfortable being quiet, saying nothing. The rest of us are not comfortable unless something's being said. And somewhere in the middle is the will of God. I'm just absolutely sure of it. That there are times when the Holy Ghost would dictate that something needs to be said. And there are times when we really do need to be silent and let God work in the inward man. We can speak ahead of time and do damage to the plan of God. Well, he's been waiting all this time to speak. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He's visited and redeemed his people. God had a purpose. He visited with a purpose. He visited to redeem. To redeem is to buy back from the power. It's to repurchase. When a child is kidnapped and they demand ransom, they're asking you to redeem that child. They're asking you to pay the price to bring that child back. Now, God created man in the garden, but man chose the way of sin, fell into the hands of Satan. And so Jesus is going to come and redeem man. That's always been the plan of God. It wasn't a last-ditch effort. It wasn't, now what are we going to do with him? Now, you find that, to keep your finger here, but look at Genesis. Well, I don't know. Every time I say keep your finger there, I'm never back. But I might be. Look at Genesis, the plan of God. Well, what's the plan for your life? Will God perform the plan in your life? Will he use his supernatural power to bring to pass the thing you would need? If you believe, will you receive? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, when he's talking to the serpent, he gives the first hint of a great redeemer. See, there's a great redeemer coming. There's one who's going to repurchase, one who's going to open the door so we can step out of the darkness into the light, one who's going to give eternal life, one who's going to sacrifice and pay for sin so that we could be free. And that day's coming, and here's the first promise, that I will put enmity or hostility or hatred between thee and the woman, talking to Satan, and between Satan's seed and the woman's seed. It shall bruise thy head, the woman's seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. Well, on the cross, the serpent bruised the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought he had won, but it was only a temporary victory because God is always going to perform his word, bring to pass, and loss is not loss when God is in it. You want me to say it again so you get it? Loss is not loss when God is in it. And that wasn't loss. The cross wasn't loss. It looked like loss to the disciples. They went into deep mourning. They went into hiding. They were afraid. But it wasn't loss at all. It was great gain. Now, disease is not of God. It's always loss. But God can turn it and bring healing. But he didn't make you sick to heal you. Healing is God. Disease is Satan. We've discussed all those things for weeks and weeks. We've taught healing here. But sometimes it doesn't look to us, it doesn't look right. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. But you know, God can do it. God can fix it. He can fix it. If we just haven't done all to what? Sit? Lay? Whine? You know, if you go to the Old Testament, people of Israel always whining about something. As one time it said they cried all night. You know what happens when you cry all night, get up the next morning, your nose is stopped up, your eyes are red, and you're so tired you can't function all day? I mean, it's not going to help. I love the sign. We used to have dogs. We had dogs for decades. I've been set free. I still like dogs, but I don't want one. And the dog said, the sign when you paid your bill said, whining extra charge, $1,000. A couple of times when they told me what my bill was, I wanted to whine. I looked up that sign and I thought, maybe not. He's letting you know that he charged what he charged and you were there and you'd have to pay that. And he's a very fine vet and we appreciate all his effort through the years keeping our dogs alive, and we're glad not to have to see him anymore. That's good news. But whining, you ever done that? Why did you do that? Because you thought it wasn't working. Because it didn't seem right to you. Because you thought you couldn't make it. You couldn't go on. But God can fix it. A virgin can't conceive. You can't hold a stick over a river and part the river. Get your stick and go down to any lake or river and see what you can do. We're not talking about a God who's limited to the natural mind or the natural material. We're talking about God who set up the natural order and then supersedes it with his power in order to bring his will to pass. What a wonderful, wonderful Father. What a wonderful, wonderful God. What a wonderful, wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, you had never seen Christmas. Because when Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man, he said, a Holy Ghost will come upon you. God's going to orchestrate by his power. He's going to bring this to pass by his power. Now, he said there is going to come one. All the way back in Genesis, he promised a great redeemer. It says Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It wasn't a last-ditch effort. He was the lamb slain. Well, thank God, God had a plan. You know, sometimes we were watching something on TV, and the guy said, what are we going to do if that doesn't work? And he said, well, you orchestrate plan B. And sometimes we've got so many options, plan A, plan B, plan C if that doesn't work, plan D if that doesn't work, that our faith wavers. Find the will of God. Stick to the will of God. Stand in the plan of God. This is the plan of virgin self-conceive. It won't happen. It did. What about three men in the fiery furnace that didn't even smell like smoke? And the men that threw them in the fiery furnace died from the heat. So that won't work. It did. What about Daniel in the lion's den? You can't put a man in the lion's den and shut the lion's mouth. That won't work. It did. See, God's real big. He's just real big. And he said there'd come in the day when someone would put his foot on the head of the serpent, and Jesus came. What a wonderful thing. Now look back at Luke chapter 1. He came with purpose. He came to redeem. We used to visit my little grandmother with purpose. She got quite frail, down to 65 pounds. It's quite interesting. When she got down to 65 pounds, they tried to keep her up to 70 or so, you know, and so Daddy would go get her and bring her to the house, and she'd live with them for a while. They're going to fatten her up. But what happened was she'd stir the ice cream. Every night Daddy would offer her ice cream, said, great granny she was to us, let's have ice cream. And so he'd dip a bowl for him, a bowl for her, you know, being sociable. I guess that's why he did it. I think he did it because he loved ice cream. But anyway, she'd stir hers, and then when he wasn't looking, she'd pour it down the drain. She never did eat it. And when it was over, she still weighed 65 pounds, and Daddy was up 10. It never did work out for them. But we would visit with purpose. We would go and run the vacuum, and Mama would buy the groceries and do this, that, and the other because of her frail condition. She needed help and assistance, and we would go with that purpose. Now, God didn't come just to watch and observe and see what you were doing. He came to orchestrate and work in your life. He came to perform His word. He came to see somebody standing in the word, somebody standing in the will of God, somebody standing in the promise of God. Somebody would say with Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, according to history, she was probably no more than 13. 13 and maybe a slightly older. And that's a pretty heavy message. She's just a child. I know they grew up quicker, but she's young. And yet she submitted, fully submitted to the will of God, expecting God to perform His word, expecting the power of God to come upon her. I know she didn't understand how that come to pass or what that feel like, look like, taste like. One fellow believing for his healing got sicker and sicker and sicker, and he just kept saying, well, that's what healing feels like. Isn't that strange? He wouldn't let the pain move him. He wasn't moved off of the scripture. He knew in whom he had believed and persuaded he's able to keep that which he's committed unto him against that day. And I know in whom I have believed, doesn't matter what the devil says. I'm not being talked out of the scripture. You know there are people, usually they live in your household, or are related to you who try to talk you out of the will and plan of God. But see, we're going to set a watch, O Lord, before our mouth and keep the door of our lips. We're not going to share the plan of God and what God is envisioning in us until God gives us that release. One lady told me about saying something to her husband, telling him so-and-so and so-and-so, and I thought, wow, it wouldn't be a message I'd want to deliver. And then she said the most phenomenal thing. She said, I waited until the Lord released me to say it. And it worked. Why? Because she waited until the Lord released her to say it. Why did it work? Why did He receive? Why did He make the changes? She waited until the Lord released her to say it. Now look at Galatians. He came with purpose. He came to redeem. He came to accomplish something in the life. And it was an eternal plan before the foundation of the world plan. It wasn't a last-ditch effort. You know, if God's going to perform the plan in my life, He has to have my cooperation. For maybe over a year, I thought about writing a book. And every time I thought about it would rise from the Spirit, I thought, I don't know why I would even do that. First of all, I don't know how. And then one day, the Lord sent somebody to help me. And said, somebody here is supposed to write a book. And then he came right down my row and pointed his finger and said, you're the one. I thought, ugh. Well, see, God couldn't do that if I don't cooperate. He's given me the plan. There's always a Godward side and a manward side. The supernatural part, the part of putting it all together, the part of going beyond your capacity, beyond your ability, beyond your financial capacity and ability, is Almighty God's. But God is going to perform His plan. He said, a virgin will conceive. He said, Joseph, go and take her as your wife. And Joseph obeyed. See, the part is to hear, what's the plan? What's the idea? What's the concept? You know, God has a concept for my life. What is that concept? He's got to depend upon me to hear and obey. I can't bring it to pass. He can bring it to pass, but He can't bring it to pass if I'm standing still, if I'm not working, if I'm not cooperating with Him. I know for a long time I thought I should visit with my neighbor. We can't actually get to our neighbors because we're surrounded by bodies of water, canals that have been put through that actually drain Lake Parker into Saddle Creek. And so if you want to see the neighbor, I had what I call an anointed waving acquaintance with the neighbor, little old lady, cute little old lady. And I'd wave at her and she'd wave at me. And then she'd talk. She didn't have a clue. I couldn't hear a word she said. Not a word. And I'd wave and I'd say, uh-huh. Oh, that's good. I didn't hear what she said. I said, Lord, please don't let me agree with anything illegal or immoral. Because I don't know what she said. I can't keep getting stirred. See, God has a daily plan, an individual plan, a weekly plan, a yearly plan. What does He want for you next year? Are you going to accomplish that? See, you've got to wait upon the Lord and hear the plan. And you can hear it without an angel appearing. Yet if an angel appears, we're not opposed to that. We're for that. Totally for that. You have a dream. We're totally for that. Finally, one day I conceded. I baked an apple pie. I'm a relatively good cook, and I don't like cooking, but I am a good cook, and I baked an apple pie, and I try to decide, do I want to wade the body of water or get in my car and go around? It's about a 3-minute drive around, you know. You got to get in the car and go all the way around. And finally, I decided to go through the water. I don't know if that's wise or not, but anyway, I got there. She's glad to see me, and she visited and talked, just like she would when we were in the yard. I'm going, same thing, I spotted on her piano, picture three little boys. I said that I'd called them by name. She said, how did you know that? I said, because they lived at 308 Lena Vista Boulevard, and I lived at 304 Lena Vista Boulevard, and I was their babysitter. Almighty God knows what he's doing. He can just get me to get in the saddle. Now, I used to ride an old horse that didn't like to lead. He was not a leader. He's not going first. You can forget it. He is not going first. So I'm sitting in the saddle, had my legs crossed. Wasn't even in the stirrups. And there's a lady going to leave the barn. I'm going to follow her. I'm not going to be challenged today with his stubbornness. I'm just going to cooperate with him. I'm going to yield. You know, we do that with the devil all the time. We put it off, postpone it, drag it out, say it when we shouldn't say it, or don't say what we should say. And I'm just going to wait on him. He's not going to go first. And so I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared when someone came along, hit the horse in the head, and he spun around and threw me off. You think that was fun? It wasn't. You know the rule of horseback riding, don't you? Young bodies bounce better. And I didn't bounce. I went thud. One day I took Wayne with me. He doesn't like to ride. He conceded. You know, why is it God has to talk us in? Why does he have to make us concede? Why does he have to twist our arm? I don't know how many times I thought about I should really go visit with her. Well, I didn't. I thought, that's probably God. And went right on with my life and didn't do it. But I took Wayne with me, and he rode. And every time I turned around, he was not there anymore. And I'd go find him. He's back in, sitting in the stall on the top of the horse. I said, Wayne, come with that horse. Is not in charge. You are. Take charge. Tell him where you're going. Don't let him do that to you. He's lazy. He doesn't want to ride in the field. He wants to sit in that stall and eat hay and get fat and sassy. I said, you're in charge. See, I'm not in charge of your life. And as much as we love Pastor and the staff here, they're not in charge, and they can do some things, but they can't do everything. And if I'm not in motion, if I'm not listening, hearing the will of God, I don't care how wild it is, how radical it is, a virgin shall conceive. I said, okay. She said, be it unto me according to your word. But she had the word. That's the part you need. According to, she had the word. She had heard from heaven. She knew what God was saying. And she submitted. She fully submitted. Well, he finally got that old horse under control, but he had to take control. You have to take control, or the devil will run you right back to the stall. Amen. He'll run you down every time, run you back. You'll wonder what you're doing back here. But if you know in whom you have believed and are persuaded he's able to keep that which you've committed to him, if you committed your children to him, how about your grandchildren? Have you made a commitment? I was at some place, they wondered how many children I had under 18. I said, none. And she didn't bat an eye, so I thought that probably looked right to her. And then she said, how many grandchildren do you have under 18? I said, until the end of the month, only one. And she looked at me and kind of batted her eyes and stared. And I said, go ahead, ask me how many great-grandchildren I have under 18. And she couldn't hardly go for that. I said, it's all right, you can ask me up two. I have ideas and concepts. And my part is to pray the plan. Zacharias prayed about the plan of God, and then he gave it up. He prayed about a child, and then he said, oh, well, forget it. It's not working. And the angel came, and he wouldn't believe. Oh, I don't want God to find me somewhere between unbelief and wavering. You know, one thing to do with your children, your grandchildren, draw a line in the sand, if you have any sand. We have sand because we live in the country, but in the city, in the country. Draw a line in the sand and get them to walk on that line. It's very, very difficult, even sober. You can imagine if you're not sober how difficult that would be. And you're supposed to walk on that line, not fall off of that line. See, and God gives his will, he gives a plan. He said, a virgin shall conceive. He said, John the Baptist will be born, your elderly wife, your wife well stricken in years, will conceive a son. You'll call his name John. And he couldn't even tell them what the name was. And when finally they said they'll name him Zacharias after his father, which would have been the custom of the day, and Elizabeth said, no, let's name him John. They said, we better ask Zacharias. And he wrote it down. He says, his name is John. How did he know that? Because when God's in something, he performs his word. He watches over his word. He's watching over his word to perform in your life. You're not going to have a year when things don't come to pass. You're going to believe God. You're going to determine the will of God. You're going to believe God. The will of God is going to come to pass. You're going to do your part. The supernatural God's going to fill in all the blanks. He watches over his word to perform it. But now let's go the other direction, won't you? Have you ever tried to orchestrate something that wasn't really the will of God? if you've not been there, you're the only one. You write a book, we want to know how you've managed. I had it in my mind to buy a sofa years ago now. Still got it. And I went and picked it out. I had the money in hand. I went and picked it out, but they didn't have the fabric I wanted, and she said she'd order it. And I didn't sleep all night long. I tossed and turned. I know the Lord was dealing with me. See, the Lord doesn't deal with your mind, deals with your heart. And I know he's dealing with me. Something about that sofa's not right. Well, I knew in my heart that he said, don't order the sofa, but I didn't want to do that, see? I wanted it. And so I called the next day and said, you know, I'm not satisfied with that fabric. I want to change fabrics. And so I changed fabrics. See, I'm trying to compromise. You can't compromise the will of God. Well, it took 6 or 8 weeks to get the sofa here. And when it got here, I didn't have the money anymore. I don't know how that happened. What happened to my money? I don't know how it happened. But Almighty God, see, he's watching over. He's watching. And he's stirring us by his spirit. He's trying to say, don't do that, Becky. You don't want to do that now. It's not a good time to do that. I never did like that little sofa. I mean, it wasn't comfy or something. I've had it reupholstered. I was looking at it the other day, and I thought, maybe if I reupholstered a third time. God was never in it, but I was. That's why it didn't work. But when God's in it, and he says he's going to send a great redeemer. Now look at Luke chapter 1. Oh, let's read Galatians. Verse 4, chapter 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made unto law. Do you see there was a time? You know, often in our life there's a time. We don't want to get ahead of God. It's better to be too slow and too fast. It's Galatians 4:4. If you're too fast, sometimes you can't retreat. But if you just wait upon the Lord, I didn't realize how much time I spent reading and praying, how many little time I spent waiting until recently. It's amazing. I read a while and pray a while. Read a while and pray a while. I take the book I'm going to study in, and I study that a while. Then I watch House and Garden if I need a break. Lately, that's not a good idea for a break. But anyway, and then I go back to reading and praying. And one day, I just sat and stared, and the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I thought, we're going to end this nice. I'm just almost, and in the end, I'm almost vibrating. I thought, wow, this is great, isn't it? I could have done that all along. I was doing the will of God. I was reading, that's the will of God. I was praying, that's the will of God. I was studying, that's the will of God. I forgot the waiting part. And as only as you wait, you hear from God. You won't hear from God going 100 miles an hour. Now, a lot of times as I read, the scripture speaks to me. I can read and it just glows. It's really not a book. It's a word from heaven. It just glows and my heart just lights fire. But sitting right there, just being quiet. Well, one thing, my house is never quiet. About yours, but here they come, there they go, here they come, there they go. And so the house is not quiet very long. I'm very seldom by myself, almost never by myself. And so I have to edge out some time, not just to read and pray. I could read in the middle of Grand Central Station. I do read in airports and on airplanes. And one lady wanted to talk to me about women in ministry. She asked me what I did, and I told her where I was going. That's what she asked me, and I said, I'm going to England to teach at some churches. And so then she had a lot of things to say, and I wasn't interested in what she had to say, and I kept going to my book. I want to say, look, lady, I'm reading. Can you see that? But I'm a Christian, see? She talked to me all the way to London. I thought, oh. You know, and sometimes God is really polite. He's really nice. And I don't know that he would say this, but I would. Sometimes I know he's going to say, if you just shut up, Becky, just shut up and listen to me. And it's in that listening. You know, Mary could have missed that angel. Was that an angel? She had to be in some kind of receptive mode. Joseph could have said, well, wasn't that a weird dream going on with life? See, it says Joseph was her espoused husband. In those days, they're married a year before they lived together. So they had not lived together. If you're a widow, they're only married a month. But in a virgin such as Mary, they would have been married a year. They have a ceremony, official vows and all those things, and then she goes home to her house, he goes home to his house. And they don't speak to one another again for the full year. And if she wants to talk to him, she has to send somebody. If he wants to talk to her, he has to send somebody. When you see the terminology in Scripture, the friend of the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom is the person who communicates between the bride and groom. And they do that for an entire year. And what the angel said in the dream was, go get her. Go get her. See, that's the plan of God. And in the fullness of time, now it's time. Now it's right, it's time. And see, if God puts something in my heart, if I wait upon him, I know what he puts in my heart. He said, great Redeemer, I'm going to send a Redeemer. And when there was time, now look back at one, let me show you something else about the time. Verse 2, it's chapter 2, it is. Verse 26. We were going to buy a new car one year. We decided we were going to buy a new car, and we went, looked at cars, and I had no more stepped on the lot till I knew I'm not buying a new car. I knew God wasn't in it. I knew if I did, I'd miss God. You miss God, I already miss God on a sofa. It's not nearly as expensive as a car. I'm not about to miss God twice. God won't help you with a sofa that he told you not to buy. I don't know about a car, and I thought, I'm not doing this twice. See, they that wait upon the Lord. And I just stepped on that lot. And I knew, well, persistent salesman, he harassed me and harassed me and harassed me until I kept telling Wayne, I have to go. I'm not buying a car. I'm going. Gritting my teeth. And finally he said, take this car and go to lunch. So I just did that to get rid of him. And then I said, you pull back on that lot. I'm jumping in my car. You run that key up. Thank him very much. And get me off this lot before I have to face that salesman again. I'm not buying a car. God's not in it. I'm not doing it. The only thing that saves you, that carries you safely, is they that wait upon the Lord. Not only will be stronger, but they'll hear from heaven. It says in Acts chapter 13, while they're waiting on the Lord, the Holy Ghost said. See, they set up an atmosphere. One fella told me he had a busy job. And he's on his van going down the highway, and the Lord kept calling his name. He had a nickname and a real name. Nobody ever called him by his birth certificate name, you know. Nobody ever called him that. He didn't want anybody ever to call him that. And that's what the Lord did. And he realized also that's the Lord. You know why the Lord had been trying to communicate with him? You know why he couldn't? He's going too fast. He's living life too fast. Had too many irons in the fire, too many things to do. He had a wife, he had a children, he had a job, a busy schedule. And all that time, God kept calling. See, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord will give the Holy Ghost a chance to say and to speak. That's why God speaks so often at night. You know why a lot of people hear from God at night? Because they're still and quiet. And that works for me. I know that at nighttime, and a lot of times I don't sleep at night, and I just lay there and quote scripture to myself, quote healing scriptures, and if I got a lesson coming up, I go over my lesson, and Wayne will know when I don't get up in time to review the lesson that I probably already went over it during the night. See, I tried to make value of that time. But as you just wait on God, as you just give yourself totally to him, as you become fully surrendered, and you say, whatever you want, God. See, be it unto me according to that. It's whatever you want. Whatever is your plan. Now, God's going to perform that plan. Look here. Here's the plan for Simeon. He was in the temple. Verse 26, was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen, and I love that, the Lord's Christ. Chapter 2. Luke. Did I not tell you that? Luke 2, 26. It was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost. Oh, how very important that is. I wonder if the Holy Ghost had anything to say to you about next year. How will you know? They that wait upon the Lord. They that minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. That he would not see death till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit. He came by the Spirit to the temple. He came. How did he get there? The Holy Ghost directed his footsteps. Now is the time, the perfect time, the fullness of time to be in the temple, because they're going to bring that baby on the eighth day, which was according to Jewish law. And there he found the baby, and there he fulfilled the plan of God for his life. You know, there is a plan, and there's a faith in the plan, and then there's the performance of the plan, and then there's the fulfillment of the plan. There comes an end. There comes when everything is over there. And then there's probably a new avenue, a new venue, unless you're 105, you know. Then maybe the whole deal's over. But there's, you know, God didn't open up the door and say, okay, I'm going to tell you what we do for the next 20 years. He'd blow you out of the water. But there's a plan for today, and I know there's a plan for next year. And as we wait in God's presence. And then if it's bigger than you can conceive, if it's beyond your ability, guess who's the performer of the plan? Now look at Luke 1. I love that. 45. This is the word of Elizabeth. Well, let's read 41 while we're here. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how you perceive the plan. Stay full. Stay in God's presence. Stay full of the Spirit. How do you stay full of the Spirit? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what you do on a day when it's dry. Your heart is dry and you don't see and you don't know and you don't believe and you're wavering. You can't stand on the line without falling off. Every little circumstance tends to drag you under. And you begin to sing. Well, Ashley this year is doing Christmas shopping, her own Christmas shopping. And she said, I found a music box you should have. And I can't remember if it was Old McDonald's Farmer Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's one of those. And the reason she thought I should have that because I frequently use those tunes to sing unto the Lord. I sing, by his stripes I am healed, I am healed, I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. Jesus said it so. And she'd heard me sing. I also use Old McDonald Had a Farm. Healing here, healing there, here, healing there, healing everywhere, healing, healing. Because I'm keeping myself full. Elizabeth spoke with great glendor, with great glory, but she spoke because she was full. And every Christian has a right to step into the Spirit, to stay in the Spirit, and to stay full. And Christmas is a time we may have to work at a little harder. I mean, I didn't go shopping when everybody else was shopping. I do not want you in my way when I'm shopping. No offense to you. But I like to cut my own path. I like the path of least resistance. And so that's what I did. It worked out well for me. But in life, there's always people elbowing you. I remember one year, I took the whole year, lost weight, got down 106 pounds, which is a little thin for me. But anyway, my mother said, you know, you have to watch your relatives. We talk about mother. She's in heaven. She's repentant now. But she said, Becky Sue, you look like walking death. And I just thought, I mean, I'd made tremendous food sacrifices to get to 106. And she didn't think, you know, you have to watch relatives in every arena. Sometimes they don't know what God is saying in your heart. Amen. They don't mean to be obnoxious. They have your welfare in mind. And it just looks to them like you are up the wrong tree. This is not going to work for you. Wayne's dad had fruit trees. House is deserted now. They keep track of it. People come and go, but it's nobody living there. And still, the fruit trees are still all there. And you send the young kids to pick kumquats, and they don't know which tree that is. And you have to, it's the littlest tree. They're about this big around, you know. And then he has a lemon tree, and the lemons look like oranges. You seen that tree? I don't know what kind they are. They look just like oranges. And I said, no, the tree, you go around the kitchen this way, and that's the lemon. I want a couple of lemons from that tree. And they don't know that. And there's a lot you're not going to know if you don't wait upon the Lord, because he's the only one that knows. I have to go down there and say, okay, do you see these? These are kumquats. See those are oranges. But you see that orange-looking tree? That is a lemon. Wayne's mother had ferns, an old fern. I haven't seen any in years and 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 years. And there's lots of them growing there, and now that the house is not tended as well, you know, there's just everywhere. And I said to Wayne, I want some of those in my yard. Go down and get your mother's ferns. We haven't done it yet. We're going to. And let's help, because some things pass away. I want some of those ferns, because they don't look like the ferns they use today. You remember those old ferns they used to use? You know what I'm talking about? They don't look the same, and I want some of those in my yard. And sometimes what God says to you just doesn't look like it ever looks to you like it does to everybody else. It doesn't look like what everybody else is doing. It doesn't look like the plan that worked for Mary or John or Carol, and it may not be. But they that wait upon the Lord, see. They're fully submitted. Now here's the thing. Look at that scripture in Ephesians. Let me show you something. That's really, 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 really important. What is God's plan for you next year? How are you going to find out? Well, if you don't, you begin by singing. So I can't sing. I wouldn't brag on my singing, but I don't let the devil talk me out of singing. Are you either? I'm not leading singing except here, you know, but I sing hallelujah. Spend a tremendous amount of time at the house just walking, and because I'm a pacer, walking and singing. Hallelujah to the King. Sing hallelujah to the King. I want to stay full. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want the Lord to have to say, I tried to tell you, and you say, I didn't hear that. Now look, you're going to stay full. Why? Because you're going to hear the plan. You're going to be in a position to hear. You know you can't do what you don't know how to do. You know what profound person said that from our pulpit? I won't tell you. He said, my brother and sister, you can't do anything you don't know how to do. That is real profound. And you can't perform a plan when you don't know what the plan is. And you're not going to know the plan unless you sit with the author of the plan. Unless you give him some time. Verse 18, you know where that is, chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourself, psalms and hymns. Read the Scripture. Quote the Scripture. Spiritual songs. Sing. Make melody in your heart. Give thanks. Don't forget that part. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, this is part of that. There are three things here. You just can't stop with speaking. You can't stop with giving of thanks. Submitting yourself one to another. Do you know that's part of that trio? If you're not submissive, you'll never know the fullness of the plan. It won't happen. You speak and you sing and you create an atmosphere whereby God can deal with you, whereby he can direct you. And you're not moved by the fact that it can't happen, it won't happen, nobody believes it'll happen. You're not moved. I'm not moved. Because God's more than enough. You know, if we don't believe he's more than enough, we should sing it what we do believe. He's less than enough. I thought he'd be enough. He's sort of enough. You'd have thought he'd come through. My God is not as big as yours. He's little bitty, you see, and he never does very much for me. That's a spiritual song. Never sung that before. Probably never will again. But that's not what I believe. I believe God said a virgin will conceive. I believe she will. I believe he said to Simeon, you stay here in the temple. When the time is right, you'll not die till you see the Christ, the Lord's Christ. And he did. And he said to Joseph, go get her. Go to her house and get her. They were married. They just weren't living together. That was the way it was done. Isn't that strange? And he went and got her. And then he said, take her and the baby to Egypt because Herod's going to seek to kill the children. See, there's a plan of provision, a plan of protection. A plan of might and ability. And the King of glory and the King of might and the King of ability will perform the plan. So he watches over his plan, Jeremiah 1:12. He watches over his plan to perform it. He's watching the plan. You know he can't perform the plan. I didn't even know what the plan was. I didn't know that. That happens every now and then at the house. You know, Wayne and I communicate by osmosis and it doesn't work out. I didn't know that. One day he came home telling me this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, are you sure? It just didn't seem right to me. You check out the plan with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes people are sent in your life to help you. Thank God they are. Oh, thank God they are. I used to tell one lady, I'm going to go downtown and get a job. I was so frustrated, so confused. If you'd have thought that I thought God was going to perform the plan, I didn't think so. I, just like Zacharias, prayed for a child, had already given up. Knew God called me to the ministry and already tried to work it out. No, it won't work. I'm finished. I quit. And she kept saying, what is it you're going to do downtown? Who's going to hire you? Well, now that's an important question because I don't have any skills. I don't need it. They need it. You think of anybody downtown needs a Bible teacher? Hires a Bible teacher? I don't think so. I was discouraged. Well, are you discouraged? Go back to the plan. Having done all the... Get up! Quit sitting around. Quit moaning and groaning. Get up! Get up! Get up! I said that in one lady's face. She's since gone home to be with the Lord. I totally didn't mean to do that. You know how you are. And she came down, volunteered church, worked here as a volunteer for years. And years, I always saw her here. I didn't know why she's here. I figured, you know, she had time and she had skill and she's able, and she came. And one day, she'd been here for years. She said, "You know why I come every day and volunteer?" I said, "I figured the Lord directed you or something." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "Because of that day when you stood in my face and said, 'Get up!'" She said, "I got up, and here I am, been here for years." What's the plan? Well, you better go ask the architect of the plan. What's my part? You'll be led of the Spirit like Simeon. What's God's part? He'll do his part. You don't have to worry about that. God will do his part. You know, when it comes to men, men are human, women are human, we're all human, mankind's human. Sometimes they meant to do their part. They didn't do their part. Yesterday we were hunting for the AT&T bill. We did write it. We did have it in hand. We did stamp it. We got the post office, but we didn't have it. Where is that thing? I said, "Dwayne, where's the bill?" He said, "You know, I thought I had it in my hand." I remember seeing it. We have what we call a mail slot. I remember seeing it in the mail slot. I mean, we looked. We took the car apart, and we looked. I don't want to call them and say I lost my bill, have to repay it, you know. And we looked, and we looked, and we looked, and we looked. Finally found it in the yard. No, don't even ask. But we found it in the yard. You know what? I know if you're looking for God's plan, you'll find it. That was a trap. Did you sense that? I'm not a goal-oriented person just by nature. I am a very much a sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's my scripture. I know what I'm going to do today. I don't know what about tomorrow, the next day. I don't plan ahead much. I take one day at a time, one week at a time. It has saved my life overseas over and over again that I don't have to worry about what am I going to do standing here in Africa for 4 weeks. It's been the leadership of the Lord for me to live one day at a time. And so I'm always tortured by goals. What is your goal for the next 5 years? It always just really does me in. Or for the next year. What are you going to accomplish by the end of January? I don't have any idea. So ask me about today. And yet if I'm going to know, God, his plan must me show. I have to stand in the Spirit and stay full, you see. I have to stand in the Spirit and sing and speak, give thanks, and submit. And then the plan can be. And then submission will bring what I did see by the Spirit exceeding abundantly above all that I did hear. Because God's not less than enough. He's not sort of enough, almost enough. He's more than enough. Does exceeding abundantly above. And the plan that I grasped was minuscule the way it did see compared to the way God saw it. I went to hear Corrie Ten Boom when she's in town. Old people know old things. And she came here, and we went, Wayne and I went. And she had this needle point, and she held it up. But the backside, I mean, the backside was a mess. I mean, you know, all kinds of colors, all kinds. It was a mess. It was a mess. You just couldn't look at the back and think, what in the world? And then she flipped it around. It was gorgeous. See, it doesn't matter how it looks to you. It doesn't matter how small or how big it looks to you. All that matters is what God sees on the flip side. We thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, mighty, mighty God, that as we step into the new year, whatever the plan, we perceive it. And the power that caused the virgin to conceive and protected the men in the fiery furnace and shut the mouth of lions is the same power that works mightily in and through me as I, your plan, do completely see. And I'm dependent, Lord, not on me, but thee. I know I can't. I know you can. And I thank you. When you say move, I'll move. When you say speak, I'll speak. That's my goal. The only goal I concretely know is to this year be more submitted to thee. And I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.